one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Aaron, this clock isn't running, does it?
Pass them.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you for coming. The purpose of the special 6 o'clock meeting tonight is to find out who of the city council members tonight are interested in the position serving as mayor. So I think at this time, we just take interest from those council members that are interested in serving.
I don't think we have to nominate. I think we can self-nominate.
Right, so the special meeting, just a single purpose, council members identify if they're interested in serving as mayor, and then the council, if it desires, can go into executive session to discuss the qualifications of those who self-identify, and that will be the total of the 6 o'clock meeting. And then at 7 o'clock is when the nominations and actual vote to appoint a new mayor would take place.
Okay, I would like to nominate, if that's okay.
We don't know.
Well, no. So, just self-identify. So really the question on the table is, who among you seven are interested in serving as mayor? So essentially you're declaring your candidacy for the appointment. The nominations would then occur at the 7 o'clock hour.
Okay, can I have a show of hands, please, of those interested in serving as mayor? All right, we've got two council members. So pursuant to RCW 42.30.114LH, the council will adjourn into executive session to discuss the qualifications of council members interested in serving as mayor. So we're going into executive session at 6:06.
And I would just note for the record, the executive session will not last beyond 7 o'clock, and there will be no action requested as part of the special meeting.
This guy's practically dead. Skagit surveyor.
Yeah. Well, you know who's going to be mayor, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, I know that too. I just, you know what?
Because then I'll be retired and I can do those things. But,
yeah.
She's already there. Yeah. Independently wealthy, I guess.
Come in here, Mayor.
Yeah.
extreme, you're talking.
Yeah. So would you like to be pro tem?
Yeah, if we want.
She's not going to vote for you, I know that.
Yeah.
What you should do probably is just withdraw.
Yeah.
Make you look better.
Yep.
Oh, a grandma presents.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah.
These pages are taken up by that.
School board meetings at all?
Yeah. I hate school.
Oh. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
I'd like to call this regular city council meeting to order. If you would all please rise and join us in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Cheryl, would you like to do a roll call, please?
Present.
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 Present. Present.
Okay, next step, we have approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember DeYoung to approve the agenda, seconded by Councilmember Kernaghy. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, the agenda is approved. Next step, we have the consent agenda. Do we have any discussion on the consent agenda?
Madam Mayor, I'd move to the consent agenda.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember DeYoung to approve the consent agenda, seconded by Councilmember Johnson. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Consent agenda is approved. Today we do not have any special guests or presentations on the agenda, so we'll go.
We do.
We do.
under new business.
Is that coming up right now?
No, it's under
No, that's business. Under new business. Correct, Aaron. Okay, so we'll go to staff reports. Chief Tucker.
Got it. Showed a couple of you in our office space. We've got that little bit of construction just about done. Nathan and Kevin did a bang-up job getting that taken care of. And we're going to have somebody moving into that office space here real quick. Hiring status. We've got Officer Lowe is still scheduled to go to the Equivalency Academy on the 22nd, but we've got him out working the road with his field training officer. He's already got experience. We've had him do about all the office stuff that he can stand, and now he's out in the car with one of his field training officers. Hopefully he'll have about a third or half of his field training done before he even goes to the Equivalency Academy down in Burien here at the end of this month. We're looking at, we're still have one slot open to hire another officer, but we're not looking at an academy date until June. They've pushed the academy dates back, so we're a little bit delayed in that. And you may notice some of us are wearing the black bands on our badges right now for Deputy McCartney down in Pierce County that was killed the other day. So keep them and their agencies, families, and all that in your mind, if you would. I'd appreciate it. And that's all I have to offer.
Thank you, Chief. Chief Klinger?
Just a couple of small items. We've got the year-end stats should be in your packet. If you've got any questions after looking at those, I'd be happy to answer them. Or Frank, sure, he can actually help answer them also. And you may see us moving around in the blue ambulance for a little bit. We blew out the inverter in the one we currently use here out of Station 1. So we've got the manufacturers come up, do some repairs. So we're going to be borrowing the CVAA, the ambulance, the blue one. So if you see that running around town, that's it, with our people in it, that's why. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Chief. John?
All right, so the Planning Commission is going to be continuing work on the Parks and Rec element of the comprehensive plan next week and potentially wrapping up the comprehensive plan items for 2017. I know it's 2018, but that's how these things go. And then if they do make any final recommendations, the entire 2017 docket will come to the City Council in the next month or so to for the Council's consideration. Aside from that, lots of projects going on. I'm not going to get into the details about that tonight. Got a lot on the agenda. One other thing going on of note is there's the annexation that was requested in the north end of town. I've been trying to reach out to property owners adjacent to that to see if they're interested in joining at the same time so we can get it all done at once instead of doing an annexation and then going through an annexation process at least and then hearing from other property owners that they wanted to be part of it. So I'm trying to be proactive on that. It is difficult to get in touch with property owners on land use issues during the holidays, though, so it's been moving slowly, and I apologize if you've been anxiously waiting for that information on the annexation. We're working on it and working with property owners. And that's all I have to report.
Thank you, John. Mark?
Thank you, Mayor. Engineering staff has been busy the last few hours interviewing the first set of consultants for the TIB-funded projects that we have planned for this summer. On your dais tonight is a late material request. The interviews we did today for the sidewalk project on SR-20 from Township to Fruitdale. We interviewed four consultants. We'll have a final selection first thing in the morning. And we'll be notifying them and beginning the negotiation process. What that entails is we will negotiate a scope of work and a contract and a budget estimate for that work. What I'm asking your permission to do tonight is to move ahead after we've completed those negotiations, assuming we're successful in staying within the budget that I've listed in the memo of $79,000. Is to go ahead and award that contract to the selected consultant subject to your ratification at the council meeting on the 24th. The reason I asked for that somewhat unusual move, this particular project needs to be under design as quickly as possible in order to meet the schedule for DOT's parallel project that will be advertising for bids in February to overlay SR-20 from Highway 9 South to Fruitdale. We want to get this project designed and able to coordinate properly with their project so we don't have to either tear out work that they've done or they subsequently tear out work that we've done. So we want to get it done as quickly as we can to meet that goal of staff. Allowing me to award that sooner than the 24th will gain us a couple of weeks in that process. And also, I'll be away on vacation for the 24th as well, so this will just give us the ability, assuming we can successfully negotiate this, to move that forward. So you have a motion on the second page of my memorandum, and if you're amenable to that, I would ask that you so move. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer those.
Can we act on that now?
Council, I think we can.
Do we wish to discuss this? Have any questions for Mark?
I just want to make a comment that I think it's actually fantastic here that 10,000 of that, well, it would be more. It'd be 10,000 more if it were not for the city staff that's going to cover that. So it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that is wonderful.
Okay, would somebody like to make a motion?
Sure. I move to authorize Public Works Director Mark Freiberg to award contract number 2018 PS11 for the design phase services for the SR20 East Lane Widening and Sidewalk Project to the selected consultant with ratification to follow at the July 24th, 2018 council meeting for a cost not to exceed $7,900.
Second. Revise that number?
$79,000. Pardon me.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Putting decimals in the wrong place.
Yes, okay. We have a motion to move forward by Councilmember Judith Dunley and a second by Councilmember Chuck Owen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries.
Thank you. The only other thing, if you've noticed any big puffs of steam around town that looks sort of like a fire over the last week, we have our, Debbie has our annual cured-in-place pipe project underway, and due to the temperatures, we've had some pretty good-sized steam clouds that have come up, and I believe the fire department's even been called out twice on that. So that is happening around town, but that is providing rehabilitation for quite a few thousand feet of our sewer mains that will allow us to get another 80 years or so of service out of those. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Good. Aaron?
Just a couple items tonight. The city is now the proud owner of the property located at 100 West State Street, the home of the future library, as of today. We're busily working on our legislative request and working with the design team to kind of get that process started. So next steps for the council will be you'll see a contract with the design team actually kicking off the full design, which I don't anticipate to occur really before March. So we'll probably get that ready between now and then. And the public library staff are busy working on the transition. There's quite a lot of work happening there in terms of making space and moving things around and just getting ready for the joint operations, the consolidation with the district operating the library starting on February 19th. So lots of work in the library front. Otherwise, I've been mostly busy working on some of the transition type issues that you all are resolving tonight. And I know the former mayor, Senator Wagner, was thinking about all of you tonight, and but busy down in Olympia. I talked to him. He only had a chance to eat an apple yesterday between the morning and about 7:30 at night. Realized that he might have to actually schedule times to take food in order to keep the ball rolling. So, but having a good time there and learning a lot and thinking about Cedar Woolley. So it's all for me.
Thank you, Aaron. Patsy?
The city reports financially on a calendar year and is a cash basis reporter. One oddity in the cash basis requirements is that per state law, the expenses must be kept open until the 20th day of January instead of the normal December 31st that you think of. So tonight's payables were all 2017 expenditures, and then next council meeting you'll see some 17, some 2018, and we won't be able to wrap the year up until sometime next month.
Thank you, Patsy. Judith?
I don't have anything very much, but I've come to a decision. I'd like to remove my name from nomination so we can acclaim unanimously.
All right. We'll get to that down the road here. Thank you for your interest. Jermaine?
Just a few things. Last weekend, I went to the Eagle Festival and kind of participated in that up in Marble Mount. It was really great. So I just wanted to remind, I didn't see a whole lot of people from, locally up there. But anyway, it was really wonderful. And the last weekend is like the most exciting, in my opinion. They do the Raptor Show, where I think they usually do it at Concrete High School. I didn't look to see where they were doing it this year, but usually it's there. But all, every weekend, the rest of this month, and they're all hanging out up in Marble Mount. So, and Denny Ingberg, tickets are $10. And I know that I dropped off a donation at Low Auto Sales. If you're interested in getting something in for one of the prizes, that's on the 27th at the Community Center, I believe, right? $10, and they're asking people to get those tickets in advance this year. Another thing was Tuesday the 16th, there's a workshop on the Steelhead proposal. That's at 6 to 8 at the Community Center here in Cedar Woolley. That's it.
Thank you, Jermaine. Julia.
I just want to say congratulations to the city. I was reading here earlier today that we are now part of the Washington State Main Street program. So it sounds like it has opportunity for us to learn about revitalization, correct? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, so we're currently an affiliate of Main Streets. So we're in, I guess I would call it phase one, which is the formation of a Main Streets committee. And we've got a group of folks downtown who are interested in making that happen. So the next step will be the establishment of an independent entity to be our Main Streets organization. So under the Main Streets umbrella, it can't be the city or the chamber. So the two most likely entities to sort of host that can't be that. But I do believe the city will receive a request to help front load the funding of the Main Streets program as a way to jumpstart the downtown revitalization under that new rubric. And then the ongoing funding, what's interesting about Main Streets is there's the ability for entities like Puget Sound Energy, the City of Cedar Woolley, really any entity that pays utility tax, B&O tax to the state can donate to Main Streets and get, 75%? I think it's a 75% credit the following year. So your $100 only costs you $25, but you have to carry that from year to year. So there's a pretty huge advantage. Main Streets requires a staff member and is really really laser focused in a downtown core. So I'm excited to,
yeah.
We've been talking for, it seems like, year after year, decade after decade, and this is one of the first sort of new, I don't want to say it's a new idea because it's not a new idea, but it's a new initiative for us to try to kick something off with a group of people who would be energized and focused on that sole mission of downtown Cedar Woolley.
It's great. Thank you, Aaron.
I have a question. I was curious, how long that Main Street program has been going on?
Pola, has it been about 30 years?
I think it's about
Thank you.
Anything else, Julia?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, Chuck?
Yeah, I just want to thank Judith for considering the Office of Mayor, and I wanted to know that I think she's well qualified, and it's her decision to remove her name. That's fine. It's nice to see a crowd here like this tonight. It's too bad it ain't that way every council meeting, but it's nice to see you people, except for Rick Limley. See him sitting out there. And I want Mark to know there's going to be a lot of happy people about that Fruitdale Road, because we I get calls all the time about that, people that can't get through, you know, without going all the way around. So that's a good thing. So anyway, thank all you people for coming, and that's all I have to say.
All right, Carl.
I also was pleased to read about the happenings on Fruitdale. Did I read that correct, Mark, that there is going to be publicly sourced fiber optics laid in that trench while we do that work at the same time?
We're discussing that with the port now. It isn't certain, but that's where it's leaning. Yes.
That's exciting news. I just wanted to highlight that yesterday was National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. And that I would like to say that I appreciate Cedar Woolley's finest law enforcement. Thank you. And then finally, we have a three-day weekend coming up to honor Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And that's not a day off, but a day of service. So I would encourage folks to find a community project, either through your place of worship or service club, or even just with your family adopting a street. And it's a way to bring honor to that memory and also to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Jared?
I guess I'll have to get used to going last and everyone saying what you hope to say. I do want to say a lot of people in the community are excited about the Fruitdale Road improvement. I'd also wanted to thank our outstanding law enforcement and for the job that they do here in the city. Just a couple housekeeping things, just so the council's aware. Starting January 22nd for 2 weeks, I'll be in Spokane for training, so I'll miss our meeting on the 24th. So if we can figure out via phone if that's appropriate or whatever we can put in place, I'm available during the time period, but we'll be out of the area. I'm attending actually the same class that Officer Lowe's going to be attending, but he got lucky and got put in the Burien class, and I'm getting shipped over to Spokane for 2 weeks, so lucky me. I wanted to just, I guess, ask, not sure if it's would be the city's responsibility or if it would be the state, the roundabout at Les Schwab, substantial chuck holes in. So if you're traveling from west to east on the basically where the fog line would be or the apron of the road, there's substantial chuck holes there. So I don't know if it's something that's already been taken care of, but something to look at.
It is the state's responsibility, but we will follow up on that.
Well, let's get the state out here to fix it.
Yeah, they have been notified.
And actually, all of Highway 20, from where they finished their project last year to the city limits, will be paved this year. So, you know, get ready for some definite delays. Highway 20 from, you know, essentially what's that, SR9 south, all the way to city limits will be paved. SR9 north from Highway 20 to city limits will be paved. And then SR9 south from Highway 20 to, I think almost all the way to Clear Lake, will be given a chip seal treatment, and there'll be a new roundabout added at Francis Road. So, you know, it's going to be busy, and we'll have some nice new lanes when it's all done.
Thank you, Barketer.
All right, thank you, Jared. I just want to say today that although the city is going through a great deal of transition right now, it's all positive. We're very fortunate to have Senator Wagner elected to Senate and representing our area. And the city of Cedar Woolley, although it's going through transition, is also going through a time of unity right now. So the public can stay assured and the staff can stay assured that things will continue on the path that we're currently continuing on. The council has no desire to turn things upside down just because we are appointing a new mayor. So with that, I would like to invite public comment time. Anyone with public comment, please approach the podium and state your name and address, please.
My name is Manuel Reta, R-E-T-A. My address is 2432 Fieldview Drive, Ferndale, Washington. I am a host on the KSVR here in Skagit Valley. I've been a host for the last 3 years, but I've been quite involved here in the community. I used to live in Cedar Woolley before I got drafted. But anyway, I call Cedar Woolley my home because I do live in Ferndale, but this is a special place for me. Today, I would like to help, ask for your help in the way that I would like to do some events here in Cedar Woolley. I started the Northwest Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce about 18 years. It'll be 18 years. And during that time, I had business parties in Ferndale, which is basically Independence Day. Hispanic Heritage Month, not to be confused with Cinco de Mayo, okay? So a lot of this, always a little bit of confusion, so as to clarify, that's basically what it is. I would like to possibly have Cinco de Mayo, which is the 5th of May, a parade. We'll dancing horses, possibly from downtown going to the rodeo grounds. We had that in Burlington this year for Veterans Parade, and everybody very, very positive. So these people that I have who have horses, they are special individuals. They know their horses. Mm-hmm. And so I am very careful about that. So that's an absolute. The next thing that I would like to do is around either the 15th or 16th of September, do a Fiestas Patrias again, down in the rodeo grounds. I did a small one about 3 years ago. Probably nobody knew about it. Last year we did one, not very big, but it was a step forward. And it was kind of one last thing that I was going to do, but we did it. So I'm hoping that the council will accept to back up the Hispanic population, because in reality, we don't have very many events for the Hispanics. And I served 6 years I was appointed Hispanic Commissioner for the state of Washington. I have contacts in Olympia, all over. And I did talk to our ex-mayor this morning. He gave me a call this morning. So like I said, I do have contacts. And I also talked to Mr. Pearson also yesterday. So my intent is to be more involved, and I really enjoy the things that are being said about the downtown. I was involved in the downtown in Ferndale, trying to do the same thing, and it's going to take a while before they get their act together there. So that is all that I have. Thank you. Any questions? Again, my name is Manuel Reta. My phone number is 360-255-18-74. And thank you very much for your time.
Could you spell your last name for me, please?
R-E-T-A.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Do you have anybody else for public comment tonight? Come on up.
Ed Kugel, 501 Fidalgo. I was just wanted to say, I wonder if it wouldn't be appropriate. I know you're going to appoint a mayor, But at our next scheduled election, if it wouldn't be appropriate if we had an election for our next mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Anyone else for public comment? All right, I will close the public comment time, and we are going to move on to new business. We don't have any unfinished. Okay, on to new business. The big thing of the night, appointment of mayor.
Madam Mayor, I move to nominate Councilwoman Johnson as mayor of Cedar Valley.
Second.
All right, we have Councilmember Couch. Oh, no. Do we have any more nominations? Any further nominations? All right. Councilmember Couch has nominated Councilmember Julia Johnson. Carl DeYoung has seconded that nomination. All in favor of Councilmember Johnson for mayor, please raise your hand in favor. Any opposed? We have a full majority.
So if I may indulge, I just want to say thank you very much to the council. I am honored by your support, and we have worked in a fabulous way over the last 2 years, and I'm looking forward to working with both Councilman DeYoung and Councilman Couch, and I'm looking forward to working with the staff. So, gosh, I'm at a loss for words, but I'm excited to be doing this, and I hope that I bring honor to the city, and I hope that I'm able to provide the city with what it needs at this time. Thank you. So moving on.
We're in new business.
We are. That's right. We're in new business and the Cedar Valley School District propositions. And I believe, Mr. Brockman, you're going to be...
Johnson, congratulations.
Thank you.
Looking forward to working with you and the school district. We have great relationship with each other. I think you can hear me okay. And we do a lot of projects together. So I'm here to talk a little bit about the levy and the bond that we are proposing in February, for February 13th. Thank you, Aaron, for the February 13th ballot. And I did provide two paper for you to look at. One's a levy and one's the bond. And I have a short PowerPoint. I won't take too long because I know you have lots of business here. But if you look to your left here, and I'll see if this clicker works, and it does. We have four pillars that we believe in, and that's great teachers, great staff in our classrooms. They're the number one, and they're most important. They work with our kids every day in their classrooms. Great administrators, and most of this includes our school principals. Our school principals are instructional leaders. They're leading the instruction in their schools, working with those teachers, giving teachers feedback on how they are working with kids in the classroom. It's been working out very well. We have schools of distinction, Washington Achievement Schools. I'll talk a little bit more about that, but we're on a roll. We're doing really well. The third piece to this is pillar number three, district offices supporting schools. If we don't have a great relationship with the district office in our schools, we're not on the same page. We're on the same page, and especially our budget office, because we go to Brett Greenwood, our executive director of budget and operations, say, Brett, can we do this? And he'll say, I think we can, yes, with a little nudging sometimes. And it goes all the way back to the day I walked in the school district almost 5 years ago in July, where I asked him, can we go to full day K? He looked at his budget and he came back and says, we can do it. So we went to full day K before the state even funded us for that. Then the last piece is the relationships we have with our family and communities. It's important that we have strong, positive relationships with our community, because when we do work together, we do make a difference and it benefits all of our kids. I want to talk a little bit about some of the highlights that we have had the last couple of years, 3 or 4 years. Schools of Distinction, Washington Achievement Schools, Lyman Elementary, Clear Lake, Big Lake, Central Elementary, the high school. These are schools that are in the top 5% of our state that are either improving academically or sustaining academic growth. It's a huge win for us. We're one of the only school districts north of Snohomish County getting these awards at this time. And we have several schools that are right on the edge of getting there. Like I said, we have one-to-one computing now, elementary music and art in our schools. We've lowered class sizes. We've added 30 minutes to the school day. Classroom libraries, school libraries, just getting those bolstering those libraries up and for the benefit of our kids for on-level reading. Full day K, I mentioned. I wanted to mention the safety and technology levy. We are sunsetting that safety and technology levy after this year. That's where we've put all the cameras and buzzers and one-to-one computing and technology in all of our schools. So it's been a huge win for us. We've been leading the county in that. And expanded school support of both our English language learners and our special education program. So we're just doing a lot of work right now, and it's building and continuing to build. Our state is almost fully funding our schools, and that's what I want to talk a little bit about with the levy and the bond. So when we have an inside partner down there, Senator Wagner, that's, I think, may be helpful to us. So the first thing I want to talk about around the proposition is the levy. So this is it's not a new levy, it's a renewal levy, it's a replacement levy. The state hasn't quite gotten there to fully funding education. This is about 25% of our operational budget. It funds and supplements special education, music and art, lower class sizes. Those are the big three. And you can see on the pie chart there that's what we've been doing. There's a little caveat to this. It's not only a renewal and replacement levy, but it's also going to be a levy where we're going to have to reduce the cost over the next, after the state legislature gets in, finishes up their session. They're working on fully funding special ed salaries, and those are the pieces that are going to come back to our school district. What we can't do is go out for a smaller levy at this time. It'd be $1.50 per thousand, because we're not sure what they're going to do in this legislative session. The 45th district flip, they have the Democrats in the Senate, the House, and at the governor's office. There's going to be some changes. So in order for us to cover our current operating costs, we needed to go out for the replacement levy, and then we'll repeal it back. Then the second piece I want to talk a little bit about is our bond. This is, we're really excited about that. We're asking for our citizens for a $79.5 million bond. Number one on the bond list is Evergreen Elementary. And I know a lot of you have been through Evergreen Elementary. Maybe you were students at Evergreen Elementary. It was built in 1974 as an open concept school. Open concept didn't work. And the reason it didn't work, because there were no walls. And immediately after the first couple of years, the teachers and educators figured this out. So they started moving walls in, bookshelves, anything they can to separate themselves from other classrooms. It was just too noisy and distracting. So, and that's what Evergreen Elementary was. We put in fake walls throughout the years. You walk in one classroom, you walk in, open the door into another classroom, and open the door, you might even go outside. So Evergreen Elementary, it's 580 kids. It has a full continuum of special education services and ELL services, but it's not conducive for teaching. So the time is now to take a look at that and see if we can build a new Evergreen Elementary. We would build it on the other side of the field, closer to the bus lane that goes out to Highway 20. Number two on the list is we have lots of facilities work. We have roofs and boilers and windows and sidewalks and ADA compliance that just need to be fixed and done. $12 million worth, it's going to cost us $1 million just to replace the roof on the high school. $1.2 million to replace the boiler at the high school. It was built in 1952. That's when it was installed. And I joke with Chet Griffith, our director of facilities, that he can't find parts right now unless he goes on eBay. But anyway, we need that cost. We are a growing district. We've grown about 250 students in the last 3 years. We need more classroom space. We're going to add classroom space. Our gymnasiums in our elementary, five of our elementary schools, are doubling up as cafeterias, and they're not even really real gymnasiums. They have wood floors, but the size is too small. We're running out of space. We can use new gymnasiums. They'll be a little bit bigger size. We can use them all day instead of doubling up for cafeterias. And we can use that cafeteria and other spaces for small group instructions for special education, learning assistant programs, Title Ed, special ed programs. So those are the highlights for the levy and the bond. I didn't want to take a whole lot of time. I know you have a lot of business to attend to. But we do have great relationships with the city. And we talk with Aaron and the mayor and the staff, your staff, monthly. And we talk about how we can work together for the benefit of not only our students, but for the community as a whole. So I thank you for that. Are there any questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right. So... lots of great project lists on here. Do we have an idea of a concept of how many work hours we're looking at locally?
There's about 54,000 work hours, and that's a lot of work, especially for our small works projects, so roofing, siding, windows, painting, sidewalks. We foresee a lot of our local employees or local construction companies working on those projects.
Well, that's good to hear, because I'd be excited to see local hire from within the community, from someone who would be able to graduate with from Cedar Woolley High School, to be able to get into a pre-apprenticeship program, into an apprenticeship program, and possibly journey out just by building the new school.
Absolutely.
And then having that too for filling the skills gap that we're looking for in this region, and getting onto a living wage.
Absolutely.
And I think this is a great way of doing that locally, because people know where to spend their money locally when they're working locally, and it relieves stress off of our roads, because as you know, traffic is a family value. More time you're in traffic, less time you have with your family. So I'd be interested in hearing more about the hours that are being put forth there. I'm interested in what your plan is with the local hire and apprenticeship utilization. Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Any other questions?
I actually had a couple. I actually have a student that goes to Evergreen Elementary, and my experience is I have to walk through another classroom to get to her classroom, which is disruptive to that first classroom, and then there's a door to go right outside from there. So that's a safety concern, in my opinion, and I believe that they have to stay unlocked. Is that right?
They do.
Yeah, so that's a huge safety concern. And I was wondering what your priority list is. Do you have a priority list? Like, what's, you know?
Yeah, the priority is Evergreen Elementary. That's number one. It's preservation, number two. And then building out classroom additions, number three. And the gymnasiums, number four. And then whatever falls in line after that, we'll get. So Evergreen, number one.
Thank you.
Every school gets something.
Phil, I had one question. I just want to say outstanding work by you and the school board. I'm seeing a lot of signs, hearing a lot of positive support, and I think it helps the education that you guys have done. People see where the money's going to be going. I did have one question. Just, I went through the Cedar Valley School District, and when I was in high school, did some work out at Clear Lake Elementary. Where does maybe, you know, down the road, does Clear Lake fit into getting some work? Because I know that that's a school that's going to need attention along with Evergreen.
Clear Lake is a dilemma. It sits in a flood zone. So it's trying to get permitting, and for new building there is very difficult. We barely got a permit to put that new portable in this last year. That's a double-wide portable that we put in. We'll work on the facilities, the roofs, the siding, the windows. We'll do all of that work. But whenever you float a bond out there and it passes, land acquisition is always on the list. Land acquisition is on the list for Clear Lake. We need to find some property to build a school up out of the flood zone for our future. Clear Lake has over 300 students there, has the combined program of Clear Lake students there, as well as the Visions program. We do not anticipate moving the Vision programs out of there. It provides relief to our other in-town elementary schools, which are full. We've added portables to all of those schools at this time. So I hope that answers your question. We do, we'll pull out a trailer. I don't know if you remember the old trailer back there. We're going to pull that trailer out. We put a new double wide in there for two classrooms. And then try to put a covered play area there to help mitigate some of the things at Clear Lake. But it's a great school. It's a school of distinction. It's Washington Achievement School. Dina Fox and the staff are doing a great job down there. We need to do something to help and support them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it? Any other questions?
Just one thing. I know I'm talking twice. I apologize. Is there a way that we could encourage the superintendent to acknowledge the school board members that are in attendance tonight?
Sure.
We do. We have a brand new Eric Johnson right there. Eric, you can stand up and wave. It's okay.
He's so shy.
And former Tim Howland is here. He was also our levy and bond chair. Is anybody else here that was a school director that I don't know? Sometimes that happens. Councilmember DeJong, I do have to comment. Were you a student at South Shore Elementary in Seattle?
Which was
during an open concept school? How did you like it then?
Well, I think it's apples and oranges because that's a different age group as middle school versus what we're talking about with elementary school. And, you know, it did get a little loud and there was some chaotic moments. But I benefited from the experience.
Yeah. My Rainier Beach days, I think I was called up to settle things down a few times.
Yes.
Just some history. Any other questions?
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming and presenting.
Thank you very much.
So now we are going to move on to appointing Mayor Pro Tem.
Well, Madam Mayor, if the council is interested in potentially weighing in on these propositions, we need to first make sure we open the door to any public comments, pro and against.
All right.
Same
so
with
is
council
there,
comments, pro and against.
Is there public comment regarding the propositions that were presented?
Ed Kugel, 501 Fidalgo. We all want great school. We all want great schools for our children. Excuse me. But this bond. Excuse me.
Yeah, I got some water here for you.
Here, let me get it. We all want great schools, but this bond won't provide them. Even with a huge cost of nearly $80 million, costing $150 million, including interest over 20 years. That's a 35% increase in local school property taxes, which homeowners will pay directly and renters indirectly. It'll be a major hardship for many, but especially for the 50% of our children and families needing help for school lunches. It's not all about kids if higher taxes force them to move away. The school district says the bond will replace one elementary school and pay for other smaller projects. The district didn't ask our community at large what we'd like for our schools, but the one survey they did said that the thing that people are most concerned about is classroom size. This bond only adds a few hundred students district-wide, even with the replacement school, leaving no room for growth or reduction in class size. Repair projects could be funded with a pay-as-you-go levy instead of a bond, saving us tens of millions of dollars in interest. Other projects rather than needs, including a $600 broadcast room at the high school, even if we want, is on their list. They may not get done built because they can cut whatever they want. A vote no on this bond will cause a major vote no on this bond because it'll cause a major financial hardship for many who are planning for growth and continued safety comfort in our schools. And on the levy is a 15% increase of our local school property taxes. The district wants more money, even though the state is going to provide money. The district claims there's an uncertainty, so we need the money, but no other local district is asking for this much. The district is not required to reduce the levy if they get the money from the state. Vote no and ask for more money than we need. And with an increase in the bond, our taxes are going to go up 25%. Many of us can't afford this large of tax increase. By asking for it, the district is hurting the possibility and driving away the very families whose children we're supposed to be serving. I think the taxes shouldn't go up more than the cost of living. Excuse my hoarse voice, and thank you.
All right. Yes? And for the record, please state your name and address. Thank you.
So my name is Kathy Rehm, and I live at 23262 Meadowview Lane in the Cedar Valley School District. And I had the privilege of serving as a teacher in the Cedar Valley Schools for 30 years. I was actually present when the designs for Evergreen were first laid out. And I remember vividly that there was a great deal of controversy about building that school. And then I had misfortune of teaching there for a year. I was involuntarily transferred to Evergreen. I spent most of that year drawing the design for the walls, and at the end of the year, the other staff gave me the Frank Lloyd Wright Award. So I have a great many stories about Evergreen and the decision that was made there that was not in the best interest ultimately. And when we decide to take it away, I plan to bring some Martinellis and celebrate. So I would say to you that the other side of this is that this district has done a brilliant job of taking care of its other schools. I am so proud of the work that was done at Central, because I also go back far enough to remember when Central was closed and when we didn't know what was going to happen to that building, and then we brought it back and turned it into a beautiful facility. And I was teaching at Cedar Valley High School when we passed the bond, when we rebuilt the beautiful theater, and when we turned that school into something that I am always proud to walk through and to invite people. I have absolute confidence in our current school board and the decisions they're making, and I have confidence in our community, and I think that this is an exciting time. And I absolutely urge people to support this effort and this bond. And I hope I get invited to go out and talk to other groups, because I have more funny stories about teaching at Evergreen.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes?
Tim Holland, 26203 Manker Road. And there is some information that Phil gave you that this was going to provide 54,000 hours of work. That's actually incorrect. Sorry, Phil. It's more like around 300,000. Carl might remember the exact number that I gave him, but it will provide approximately 100 jobs for 3 years. That's a lot of work. And the school board has always highly promoted trying to keep local contractors to do that work so that that money that comes from the community goes back to the community. And actually, I got here late because I was at a labor meeting, which Carl helped line up. But anyway, we were talking about these very issues, trying to keep that money in the community in different ways so we can do that. There were some other numbers given here opposing the bond that are not correct, and I'd be happy to go over that with anybody that really wants to deal with that. We can't be exact on this. We do not know what the state is going to do. We do know that we will get state match dollars, which the school board, that's going to be approximately $6 million, which the school board has said will go to repay that bond when we get it. Actually, it won't go quite that way, but we never will actually get the $79.5 million. We will never take out that entire loan because some of that will be replaced by the money that we get from the state. And the levy is very complicated at this point. We just don't know what's going to happen with that. But the numbers that we're giving on these sheets, it's very unlikely we'll ever collect that amount of money. It will be lower than that. And in closing, all I have to say is vote yes for schools. And I would hope that the council, I'd like the city council, if possible, to endorse this project. I think it will be very good for the whole community in many, many ways.
Madam Mayor, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Dr. Holland, you're on the political side of the bond, correct?
Of the what?
You're in part of the chair, co-chair of the political committee?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So would Cedar Woolley be the only organization entity that would be solely endorsing this bond? Or
no.
What other endorse?
Well, there's lots of individuals, chair for one, and yourself, but and I'll probably get the mayor to endorse this too at some point. But anyway, many individuals, the Skagit Democrats, have endorsed it. And the group that I went to tonight will probably endorse it, and I don't remember their name, but
I might be able to help with that. Northwest Central Labor Council, AFL-CIO, which represents Skagit County, Island County, and Skagit County.
And the meeting tonight, they had, as far as I could tell, virtually every president of every union in that area there tonight, and they were very interested in this project. They support education. They support the idea of keeping jobs local, and I'm sure they're going to support this. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to give comment? All right, so now we will move on to Mayor Pro Tem. The appointment of Mayor Pro Tem. Brenda has been doing a fabulous job the last 2 years, and I will entertain any nominations.
Before you move on, did the council wish to take action on?
Well, I think that we should actually voice our support for the the bond, if that is how we feel about it.
Is there any discussion regarding it?
So we're going to need a motion. Do we have something before us that we can move?
Yeah, the council packet has a proposed or a range of possible motions on page 155.
Thank you.
And there'd be two separate motions, one for Proposition 1, one for Proposition 2.
155.
Okay.
Thank you, Aaron.
So do I hear a motion for Proposition...
That's...
Motion to support or oppose the Cedar Woolley School District number 101 Proposition 1 General Obligation Bond for $79,500. Million, sorry, yes.
It's really funny.
That would be nice if it was 75,000, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be my typo there. Oh, add three more zeros.
Goodness. Yeah, they're lacking three zeros, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
A couple orders of magnitude there. Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that City of Cedar Woolley endorses Cedar Woolley School District number 101's propositions of Proposition 1, General Obligation Bonds, $79,500,000. Proposition 2, Replacement Education Programs and Operations Levy. Thank you.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilman DeYoung and seconded by Councilman Couch. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? Okay, motion carries. So moving on to the second motion. Do I hear? Did you do both of them?
I think
at the same
time? He did.
Oh,
okay. He did both.
All right.
He did them both.
I think they called in.
Okay. So we can move on now to Mayor Pro Tem, but I've been trying to get there.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get there.
What did you say?
That I've been trying to get there.
Oh, okay.
All right. So I will entertain any nominations.
Yeah, I'd like to make a nomination that we change the guard and make Judith Dunley Mayor Pro Tem.
All right. So do we take other motions like we do with the mayor? So is there anybody else that you'd like to make a motion?
I nominate Jermaine Cornegay.
So we have two candidates, possible candidates for Mayor Pro Tem. Where would I move with this? We've never done this before.
Yeah, it's a little different than our normal process,
yes,
which is fine. So I think what you would do is just take a vote. Well, it would be good to have these nominations seconded, or I think that would be helpful to get the ball rolling. And then if you've got two nominations that are seconded, then much like the mayor appointment process from the new policy, you would just call for all in favor of nominee,
right,
council member, whichever,
right, okay,
and then all in favor of nominee, the other council member. And in this case, we're looking for a majority of the council, or if there happens to be a 3-3 vote, then you will be able to cast the tie-breaking vote.
All right. So we'll just back up here a bit. So we had a motion by Councilman Owen to nominate Councilwoman Judith Dunley. Do I have a second?
Second.
It was seconded by Councilwoman Kinzer. And we had a motion by Councilman DeYoung to nominate Councilwoman Jermaine Cornegay.
Second.
So, okay, and we had a second by Jared. Okay. So,
put it to a vote.
Yeah, let's put it to a vote. Those in favor of those in favor of Councilwoman Judith Dunley, do I hear a vote? Show of hands? Let's do a show of hands. So we have three. And those opposed would be?
No.
I don't think you would go opposed.
Don't
just
go opposed.
For
you
those
go
in favor of Councilmember Cornegay.
And then those for Councilwoman Jermaine Cornegay? Also three. So, okay.
You're the tiebreaker. You don't duck this one.
Wow. Okay.
Dang, right out of the gate.
Yeah.
It breaks the book.
So, yeah, so I guess my vote will go to Jermaine Cornegay, Cornsman Jermaine Cornegay.
Thank you.
So, okay, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Jermaine Cornegay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Great job. Thank you.
All right. informational items. You already mentioned the fire report, did you not, Chief? All right, so. So is there anything for the good of the order?
Yeah, item on page 179, the council's organizational matters, agenda item M3. I have a feeling our meetings might become quicker. Since you keep jumping to the next item. You know.
Yeah,
so page 179, City Council Organizational Matters. This is your annual review of proposed committee assignments, the mission, vision, and goals, a question for the council about a possible retreat, and then the city calendar.
So are there any questions for Mr. Berg regarding the agenda? The organizational matters, I'll say.
Well, actually, don't we have a little problem in that the committee assignments include the mayor?
Yeah, we'll have to, I guess what I would recommend is that you would sub out the future newly appointed council member for the mayor, but the council certainly is free to make any changes that it sees fit. These were the appointments or recommendations made by Mayor Wagoner before he zipped off to Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
So has it ever happened where the mayor stepped in until that appointment happened? Or?
Well, the mayor generally participates in any or all council committees that he or she wants to participate in. So in this case, I would consider anything with former council member Johnson's name as a vacancy on the committee list.
Are there any other questions regarding
you put yourselves into your spots?
Yeah, I would. I would like to recommend, you know, that we have the retreat again this year. I think they're very productive, and we have a chance to talk and bring things up. So, I would recommend we have the retreat again this year.
Yes. I thought that was very helpful when I came on. So
maybe get the new council member appointed and then schedule one after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Aaron, since you mentioned it, what kind of timeline are we looking at, or what have you seen in the past for filling the vacant seat?
So this will be the first time that the council vacancy will be filled under the new council procedures. I believe it will take approximately 6 weeks. Just depending on the way the schedule falls, but that will begin with a notice issued by the city clerk by the end of this week. There will be a notice issued announcing the vacancy. That will be published twice over the course of 2 weeks, and then the process will include the city will receive any interested applicants for the position, and at a following meeting, I think the calendar works out that it will happen probably at either your February study session or your February regular meeting. The city council would narrow down the list of applicants and determine who the council would like to interview. And then at the following meeting, the council would interview those applicants in public session. I have the ability to adjourn to executive session to discuss the qualifications of those candidates for appointment to elective office, and then come out of executive session at the regular meeting, so much like we did tonight, a 6 o'clock special, and then come out at the regular meeting, make the appointment. That council member then would be sworn in and take their seat at that time. So I think it may be the second meeting in February would be the likely time for that appointment to take place. So we might aim for a retreat maybe fairly early in March if we could pull that off. That way it doesn't drag on too far into the calendar year, and we can make the most of the retreat in terms of setting the direction for staff work.
Sounds like a plan.
And maybe we'll aim for a Monday, since I know We'll try. That's always the challenge, then, is fitting everyone's schedule. So, you know, pick a day of the week that gets most people so we avoid work schedules and figure out the location and all of that. So we'll get working on that part.
I just have a note. I just was looking at the schedule for the year, and on February 14th, I will not be here.
All right. All right.
Ash Wednesday.
Duly noted. Councilwoman Kinzer, mm-hmm. You had a question? I thought you started. Okay.
I was thinking to myself.
So I actually have a comment regarding the organizational matters. I think it's nice that we have, now that we have two new council members on, it'd be nice if we could kind of review what maybe the goals and the agendas are. So that would be great that they could give their input and we could reevaluate them.
Yeah, so
when we go into a retreat.
That's what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we can do, often the retreat we've done kind of the quick presentations from various departments to orient the council to what they see as, you know, both what's going on, but what they see as the upcoming issues, and to get that out of the way in the morning, and then set the afternoon for council discussion that really culminates in a reprioritization of goals. So then we set to work on developing our, 2018 work program, potentially amending the budget, whatever is necessary to try to execute those goals. So it's kind of a fun and exciting process, and it's definitely helpful from my perspective on the staff side that we know we're marching in the direction that the city council has set.
Thank you. Any other questions regarding that?
Madam Mayor, I have one under committee assignments. I just wondered, this was a recommendation of Mayor Wagner prior to leaving office, but I didn't know with the changes we'll need to make for your vacant spots, or if you'd rather just look at reviewing this completely, or if how you feel about the committee assignments.
Well, I'd like to hear what former Mayor Wagner had to say. Yeah. Regarding.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you would want to, if we would look at a complete revamp, or how you felt about the committee assignments.
Yeah, I think that I would like to take some time, take a look at it. Yep. Thank you. All right. Anything else? Anything else for the good of the order? Okay. So we have nothing more except to adjourn. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And second. So moved.
Okay. Second.
All right. We're adjourned.
Hallelujah.
Forget something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you have one now.
Yeah. You know what's bad.
Yeah. You stole it.
Yeah. That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah, I think I'll just check in with everybody.